The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Charles Payne from the Fox Business Channel is with us. Charles, good morning.
Good morning, Mary.
Thanks for joining us. I wanted to talk to you. We came across this story that we thought was just so interesting, and it compares the rate of per capita taxes that we're paying now compared to what our parents were paying in 1961, the fiscal year that President Kennedy was elected. And basically, then when you adjust it for 2016 dollars, in 1961, the average American was paying about $4,121 per American. If you take the tax revenue equal, you know, among all of the people in the country, works out to be $4,161. Now, it's $10,114 that every single person pays. Now, we know that there are some people that don't pay anything, so some are paying more than others. But if you average out, $10,000, what has happened and how long can we sustain this?
Well, government has grown, and government has a insatiable appetite, and no matter both parties throughout history, whoever's in there, they spend more than they say they're going to spend. They never cut spending anywhere. They create bridges to nowhere, hence the $20 trillion in debt, and still this tax burden, which obviously is a big item with respect to the Trump administration and his budget and his tax proposals, is becoming such a burden on us that we're not far away from this being something that will cost us $1 trillion a year on interest on the money we borrow, and probably forcing taxes to go even higher at some point down the road.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just, you know, I remember back during the campaign, you heard people like Bernie Sanders and just like constantly Democrats harking back to, in 1955, we had a 90% tax rate. How come we can't get closer to that again? And I don't know why at all that's ever an appealing message to any American voter, but Democrats insistent that we need to get back to a place where 90% is a reasonable tax rate.
You know, I've studied that on my own. I've spent a lot of time studying that. And the fact of the matter is that there were very few people paying that.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, seven people probably, you know, were able to have to pay that amount if you start to adjust it for inflation. It's nonsensical, but that's always, anytime you hear stuff like that, that's not economic policy per se. That's ideology, and they try to wrap economics around ideology. And that's what we saw a lot during the Obama administration, where almost everything that he pushed or that was pushed through it occasionally needed the veneer of economics, and they would try to gloss it up that way. But it was all about redistribution and also a form of social justice. If you get enough people thinking that, well, there's a handful of haves who've got all the money, then why not raise taxes to 90% to enact not only more money for everyone else, but some form of justice, getting even.
Yeah. Did Mick Mulvaney, you had come out, I think it was last week now, and it was early last week, talk about the Trump budget and the plan. And he's got a very rosy view of how much we can grow. And I say rosy because it's relative to recent growth. They're targeting about 3% GDP growth based on if all of Trump's plans go through, including lowering a bunch of tax rates, especially the corporate tax rate, and try to attract business to the United States. Are you as optimistic that the United States can get back to 3% if all of Trump's tax plan goes through?
I think 3% is certainly doable and achievable. And I will say, though, that on the tax plan, you know the old saying, guys, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
Right.
And in this case, I keep telling you or asking Trump administration folks, don't let the grandiose be the enemy of the good. Okay?
Yeah.
We don't really need big, large corporations to pay 15% tax. I know there's some countries out there that are that low, but we're not losing business to Poland or the Czech Republic right now. What I do believe we need to have a sincere laser-like focus on are small businesses. 95% of businesses are S-Corps, and these are folks who file individuals. As individuals, 95% of our businesses, this is the heartbeat of America. This is where real growth comes from. This is where real job creation comes from. I love the idea of giving them 15%. And large corporations, I think 25% is a pretty smart, reasonable deal. And the reason I say that is because anything else they try, they're going to have to try to balance it out with something because they're going to lose money on a CBO score. And that's when you get harebrained ideas like the border adjustment tax. Just this morning, I was just crunching numbers before you guys called. Dollar General reports their earnings. They paid in the last 3 months 37% tax. That is absolutely outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. Now, if we were to add a border adjustment tax, they would even have to pay more money. And ultimately, that means the people who shop at Dollar General, middle class and lower income folks, would have to pay more for those items. So that's why I think that the administration needs to have a realistic plan, because the wheels of commerce have already started to move. They're moving in the right direction. Businesses want to grow. So I think if they do something that's reasonable, let's get it in there. Let's make it smart, reasonable, and get it through.
We're going to have to, though, make some cuts in the budget. We're going to have to cut back on some of these freebies and entitlements and other things that people are getting. That has never happened. Entitlements don't get smaller. Do Americans have the stomach to handle that? I don't think they do.
Well, that's a great point. And sometimes it may not just be Americans, it may be human beings. You know, the most recent example of a country that went all the way to the cliff and fell off was Greece. And what people need to understand is that Greece had a military coup in the early 70s. Before that coup, their country always ran a budget surplus. When the civilians took back over 3 years later, the first year they took over, they had a deficit, and they have had deficits ever since because they were so afraid of future coups, they gave everything away. And there were red flags for decades. They ignored them. They drove right through them, eventually driving off a cliff. So to your point, Mary, I'm not sure about the ability of human beings to just see, hey, you're moving in the wrong direction. But I do think at some point leadership's going to have to roll the dice and say, maybe I'm going to be in D.C. for one term, whatever it is, and put out a smart plan. And I think one good thing is that millennials in general are so down about the idea that they're not going to get any Social Security. Put something in place that starts to kick in 20 years, and you may have a more receptive audience than ever before.
Interesting. Charles Payne from the Fox Business Channel, thank you so much for joining us, and have a fantastic weekend.
Thank you both, guys. It was great talking to you.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.